Station number 21628, Rule 1.
Fred Hawkins, Rule 1. Where were you born, please?
Where was I?
Born.
Born in Wappenham, Towcester, North Hants.
Which year was this?
And is that all right, is it?
Yes, you were born in 1920, I think.
Yeah.
So where did you grow up and have your schooling?
And a little from Northampton, we moved down to and lived with my gran down at Belsham St Paul's, just on the borders of Essex and Suffolk. And I carried on because my father and my family, they were all blacksmiths around that area. And we stopped there until 1937, when we moved, we were, whole family moved away, and we moved down to Burnham on Crouch.
What job did you do on leaving school?
I had a various job. I was in a kitchen hand in a grammar school at Earl's Cone. And from there, I was on a poultry farm. And it was from there that I had about 6 months on Stradishall Aerodrome. And it was from there, around about the 1937 time, when my whole family moved from there down to Burnham on Crouch.
What were you doing at Stradishall Airfield?
I was just labouring for Sir Lindsay Parkinson. He had the contract for the whole job.
To build it?
Yes. That is now a high-class prison, high-crime prison.
Did you join the TA before the war?
Yes. I made friends with a young man down at Burnham. He wasn't in the territorials, but he had two brothers who were, and one of them, he encouraged me to join, which I did. So I joined up in September 1937 in the local territorials at Burnham on Crouch. The drill hall was in the centre of the town, not far away from my home.
Which unit of the TA did you join?
I joined, it was number 10 platoon, B Company, 1st 4th Battalion, or the 4th Battalion as it was then, just 4th Battalion. It was named 1st 4th afterwards. 4th Battalion, the Essex Regiment.
What kind of experience did you have with the TA before the war?
We'd done quite a lot of training. Well, we'd done a training in the drill hall. We had another drill hall at Burnham and another one at Southminster, which was 3 miles away. And we used to do our training in the Burnham drill hall. But if we wanted to get another two drills in to help towards annual camp, we could go to Southminster and do an evening's drill, which counted as two drills, 2 hours, an hour each drill. And we could do extra drills there then. We took part in various sports at the fates down at Southminster, tug of war, and we done a ceremonial guard with all territorials. We used to travel up to Raynham, rifle ranges. And they used to go on a Sunday up there, go up there for the whole day, and that was when we used to meet up with a lot more of the battalion. Otherwise, we only saw the rest of the battalion when we used to go to annual camp, and we done that at Wanwick. Was 1 year. Can't remember where the other one was. I done two 1938. And 1939, I hadn't got enough drills in to do the 1937 one. You had to have so many drills before you could attend an annual camp. They used to last a week, I think it was now. We came back from camp in 1939, then in the August this was, and of course no sooner were we home than we were more or less called up again in the September.
How did you feel about that?
Well, I was working in a gravel pit then, and when we went in for our tea breaks, we heard the news, and which didn't sound very promising. But we was very young, well, very young, 17, and didn't really know what was going on. But finished work that on the Friday at about 5:30, and when I got home, I found me calling up papers on the table, which was to say report to your drill hole as soon as possible. So I had me dinner and washed and got dressed up in all my army gear, and I left Burnham and went to Southminster, and we had an inspection there by the local medical officer, and we were given a couple of blankets and we slept on the drill hole floor that night. Quite a change from sleeping in a bed. On the Saturday, this was on September the 1st, Friday, September the 1st, 1939. On the Saturday, we went down to Cafe and had a sort of a breakfast, and we were issued with our rifles and a certain amount of ammunition. And and in the afternoon, we left Southminster and went up to London. And our job, we found out afterwards, was to sort of protect the eastern approaches to London, something which our predecessors had done in the First World War. And we were stationed then for 3 weeks or so at the schools at Hackney. Apparently, the RSC couldn't supply us with rations, so we used to go to by platoon at a time. We used to march from our schools, which was the where we'd been billeted, into Mare Street, Hackney, where we had a section of Lyons' corner house tea rooms blocked off for us. We done that for a while until we got proper rations there, and then we had the food in the school itself on the premises. We stopped there for several weeks, and then we moved down to Epping, and Epping and Thornwood Common. And as I had previously been took over from the caretaker at the drill hall at Burnham, I carried on sort of issuing canteen stuff out up at London until the stocks run out, and then I finished up in the officer's cookhouse from there, and that was at Epping. We moved from there down to Witham in Essex. We went into various billets there and finally finished up in Durwood's Hall, a big mansion on the right-hand side of the A12, just the other side of Witham. And we had two companies billeted in there, B Company and C Company. It was a huge property. We spent the winter of 1939-1940 there. We had our Christmas dinner in the stables, and all the food that was cooked for us there was cooked in the old field ovens, where they used to get the oven hot, put the wood in and get the oven hot, and then clean it out and put whatever was to be cooked in. And we kept there till the spring of 1940. And we went up to Northumberland. There we carried out a lot of beach defences, sandbagging and this sort of thing, because it was getting near the time in 1940 when they quite expected an invasion of the English coast.
Was this summertime?
Yes, getting on to the summertime then. And
whereabouts in Northumberland was this?
We were at Wooler, just outside Wooler, and we was inside Wooler or in the town for a while, but we were in that area. Our sister battalions, the 2nd, 5th, they were not far away, because we were a territorial battalion. We had the 1st, 5th and the 2nd, 5th, Essex, they were territorial battalions as well. We stopped at...
Your battalion had now become the 1st, 4th, had it?
No, what happened was the... in the desert, the 2nd, 5th got overrun, and they were never made up to a unit from there on. There was only the 1st, 5th Essex left. But we stopped at Wooler, in the Wooler area, until the August 1940. During that time, our platoon, I'd gone back to the ranks then, and our platoon was classed as a tank hunting platoon. And we had... Tank hunting platoon. We had a bicycle each, so we all had to make sure we could ride a bicycle. And we had a small 500 weight van which had been commandeered, like a little bread van, very small, and that had a roll of dannet wire on and some picks and shovels and some of these anti-tank mines. And the idea was that when the German tanks had landed, we would go out after them and get into a position where they were, say, coming along a road, and you'd put a string of mines in the ditch or on the side of the road with a cord, and you used to pull these mines across. When the tanks got up, and the platoon would be
spaced out,
and as the Germans jumped out of the blazing tanks or the damaged tanks, you just shot them. That was the idea, in theory. That but I mean that we never had the opportunity doing anything out. But this is what our platoon were doing.
And that was 10 platoon.
That was at number. Wait a minute, where's it coming to number 12? I think I've got in number 12 platoon, I believe.
Anyway, that doesn't really matter
very much. No, it was just one platoon at the company that were doing it.
And you were supposed to get to the right place on bikes?
Yeah. I don't know what the Germans would have been doing while we were cycling along. But, we stopped in the, as I say, in the Wooler area, various guard duties, to carry out ceremonial guard changing in Wooler High Street, the same as we did in Witham, which caused a lot of interest of the local people. They wished to come out and watch. And we had a very good CO, a Colonel Gibson, First World War veteran, very strict, very good, but very fair for punishment, issuing out punishment. And we had the RSM Johnson. He was a first-class person, and his word was law. When he was very, 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 very strict. But I think, that being said, I think it was through them that a lot of us are still about today. I think because everything had to be just so for them, and it had to be right, which I thought was...
And at this time, did you get punished?
Yes, I did. That was at Wooler. We had two pairs of boots. One was a highly polished pair, and the other pair was a dubbin pair. my shiny boots, the only pair I had when I was when I joined the territory was somebody else's, an old soldier's boots. They were very shiny, and while I was in Northumberland, and we had these second pair of boots, would be dubbined, because you couldn't get no shine on them, and I was on battalion guard, and the RSM walked behind, and he said, why have you got those boots on? I said, it's the only pair I've got, sir. And I was put on a charge for that, for going on a guard mounting parade with with dubbing boots. My other boots were in for repair.
Did you tell him that the others were being repaired?
Well, I went out before the CO, because in fact it was a battalion parade, a guard change, and I had to go before the CO. Otherwise, I would have gone. If it had been an accompanied deal, I would have gone before the company commander. But just got let off with a warning, I think. No severe reprimand, but got a warning. We were warned that we would shortly be on the move. Then suddenly that order was cancelled. We were issued with topies, but we hadn't got to tell anybody where we was likely to go. But I thought a topie on your haversack was a good signal sign, really. We had a 48-hour leave. They got the battalion to have a 48-hour leave. We come home and said cheerio to our family. Went back, and then on August the 4th, we trained from Wooler to Liverpool, and we boarded the Monica Bermuda. The whole battalion were on, had embarked, and then we left I thought it was the early hours of August the 5th when we sailed. They never had all the battalion on that particular ship, because a certain number and an officer, there might have been more than one officer, I can't vouch for that, but a certain number of our people were put on another ship, and had the Monica Bermuda got sunk and we were all casualties, these who were on the other ship would have been the nucleus for a new 4th Essex. We left there on the 5th of August. After about 2 days at sea, it seemed as though the convoy split into a fast and a slow one. And we were in the fast one, and we sailed out, say in the early, I reckon it was in the early hours. We had an idea we might be going to India Way, or somewhere over there, the Far East perhaps. India was talked about, but you get so many rumours, you didn't know really whether they were true or not. But sometime at sea, we were informed that we were going to Freetown. And we pulled into Freetown. I'm given to understand that was the largest convoy of troops ever to leave England. Up to that time, there was about 40,000 troops in the convoy. It was a large one. I've got all the names of the ships down, and I know a lot of the troops that were on board the different ships. I've collected that from a book. But we pulled into Freetown Harbour, We had no mishaps at all on the way. We did hear some depth charges, what we assumed to be depth charges, go off, but we never saw any action or anything like that. And we had a Catalina flying boat come out from some air base and circled a convoy. But apart from that, we had no problems all the way. And we pulled into Freetown Harbour. Our CO went ashore, but he wouldn't let us go ashore. We pulled in there, I think, on the 17th of, around about the 17th of August. Can you switch it up? We stayed on the ship in the harbour until practically the end of the month. Because when our CO went up to the barracks, Wilberforce Barracks, it had been inhabited by the West African Frontier Force Rifles, and their hygienic conditions were unsuitable as far as our CO was concerned for us to go in.
Can you describe?
And they'd got to be really cleaned up before they'd let us go ashore. And we stopped on the boat in the harbour. That's where we saw the young lads in their long boats come up and called out, "Penny Johnny, Penny Johnny." And they used to throw them in the water, and they used to jump over the boat and dive down and collect them before they hit the bottom. And sometimes our chaps wrapped some of the pennies up in, because it was English money anyway, wrapped them up in silver paper. And they thought they'd get a bit of silver when they were... When we eventually landed, we formed up, the whole battalion formed up, led by the band and drums. Now, our band and drums were taken abroad at government discretion. They decided that we'd got to take the band and drums ashore with us, and they got a good band and drums they had. And we formed up at the harbour entrance. We marched up to the barracks, led by the band and drums, and there was a number of Europeans and high personalities there who watched this, and the local population, and I'm sure we were the first white battalion, a complete battalion of white troops to be stationed there. There was troops come after us, but at the time we were the first ones to be stationed here as a battalion. There we carried out a lot of guards and ceremonial parades. We had a lovely big parade ground, but as soon as you'd walked about 3 or 4 yards, your boots, shiny boots, were covered in like a red dust. Terrifically hot. We had the duty of running the area jail, which we used to have a battalion guard on every day. Each company took it in turns to supply a guard for 24 hours, and we had the guard room more or less to the entrance of the camp, and we run the jail there, because we did have. Not so much in the beginning, we weren't so busy, but later on we were busy in the jail because there was more troops about there. And we had sailors and all, I think.
You mean there were prisoners in the jail?
Yeah, they come up there because they've been picked up for some rioting or something like that down in the town, that sort of thing. It's the first time, apparently, that surprised the local population to see marching troops playing music, and it was something out of the ordinary, very much so. It was a long march uphill to the barracks, but eventually we were settled in, and we all had the battalion had platoon huts, long huts, and enough to take the platoon. We eventually got mosquito nets, We had a camp bed and a couple of blankets. We didn't need much blanket anyway because it was so warm all the time. At the battalion cookhouse, where we used to march a company at a time down to the mess hall, which was a large mess hall near there. One thing we noticed was these not carrying crows, these huge birds used to come down and if you was walking along with any food, they'd just at least come down and swipe it off your at your mess tins. But it was very interesting and I thought very educational to be there. We was able to go down into Freetown itself and wander around. There were certain areas out of bounds. From there, we sent our first aircrafts home. You write, they give you a sheet, like an A4 sheet, and you write your message on there. You used to take it down to the telegraph office in Freetown, and just to go over the counter, you pay for it, I suppose, and then it was sent to England in a smaller form, and then sent and must have been enlarged when it got this end, because I've got one that was sent me mother, and this size that book almost. We done a lot of training out in the bush, because we had a carrier platoon there and the transport platoon, and they had their own lines as far as the shelters that the Bren gun carriers were under were sort of reeds and that sort of roof and form. There was a number of high-ranking officers from round the area came and visited the battalion while they were there. And as time went on, there was more troops come. And they used to have inter sports, football, cricket, hockey. Hockey was a well-played game there, boxing and that sort of thing. And also they had entertainment. They got a huge building erected for entertainment. food was not really sort of our cup of tea, but it went down for a start, and as the longer we were there, the better the food became. We used to, in our own huts, we used to leave one, we used to have one orderly who used to leave and look after the hut because you didn't lose any of the equipment or personal effects out of the hut while the platoon were out. And we used to have a hut boy, which was a darkie, and he used to do all our laundering. They used to come and collect all this the shorts and things up, take them down the back area to the river, and they used to bash the living daylights out of those clothes. But I used to get them wonderfully clean and press them. I don't think anybody could press them like they could. They used to use the charcoal irons. When a bit of charcoal got cold, they used to put it in the mouth and clean the teeth. That's why they had white teeth. It was very interesting. But when we was in the training in the bush, then you got all these red ants drop on you when you was pushing, cutting your way through the thickets. But as I say, it was very interesting, very educational. We watched the convoys come into the harbour. They'd come through the boom defence into the harbour. And when we saw a Union Castle liner come in, you could nearly stake your life. There'd be some mail for you. Because it took a long time before we did get mail, but once it started to flow, it was all right. It was nice to get news from home and find out what was happening. Some was good, some was bad, I suppose. We had a hospital there where I don't know what the nurses, what group or unit the nurses were in, but the men folk, I think, were the 13th Field Ambulance. Now, they were on our ship. And at one time, you say nearly a third of the battalion were in hospital with malaria. There was so much, so many people got malaria. I had it about three times. One of our jobs was to carry out a beach defence duty.